بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم زدنا علما وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا، وافتح علينا فتوح العارفين بك يا أرحم الراحمين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I would like to welcome all of you to today's class, which is the 39th in the series of classes on the fiqh of tahara, the fiqh of purification. And inshallah, today we continue in the very important chapter from the book Bulugh al-Maram, entitled the Nawaqid al-Wudu, or those things that nullify the wudu. And we shall be speaking about the menses and the irregular bleeding, which is something that is very important to know the rulings about for both women and men as well, because the men, they can advise their wives and the women that have questions about this issue. So it's important for us to learn it so that we can teach our families the correct rulings so that they can purify themselves and obey Allah in purity in tahara. So inshallah, let us go together to the hadith for tonight. Inshallah, we'll read the Arabic and the translation, and then we'll discuss together some of the ahkam that the ulama mentioned about it. This hadith, وعن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت جاءت فاطمة بنت أبي حبيش إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت يا رسول الله إني امرأة أستحاض فلا أطهر أفأدع الصلاة؟ قال لا، إنما ذلك عرق وليس بحيض، فإذا أقبلت حيضتك فدعي الصلاة، وإذا أدبرت فاغسلي عنك الدم ثم صلي. متفق عليه. وللبخاري ثم توضئي لكل صلاة. This hadith was narrated by Aisha, the mother of the believers, may Allah be pleased with her. She said that Fatima binti Abi Hubaysh came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, O Messenger of Allah, I am a woman whose bleeding continues to flow, and I never become pure. So should I abandon prayer? Should I stop praying? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, no, that is only the blood from a vein, and it is not the menses. So if your menses come, then leave aside your prayers, and when the menses end, then wash away whatever blood is left and perform your prayer. And this is a narration of Bukhari, who adds, then perform a new wudu for every prayer. So if the bleeding continues after the menses end, then wash away the blood and make a new wudu for every prayer. This is how the Prophet ﷺ responded to her. So in this hadith, we see that the mother of the believers, Aisha, she's describing a sahabiya, a woman who came to the Prophet ﷺ, and she said, I have a problem. I'm a woman whose bleeding is continuous. It doesn't stop when my menses end, but her bleeding was irregular, which means it continued after the end of her menses, after the regular period. So this story, or this woman, her name is Fatima bint Abi Hubaysh. She also had two sisters, Humna and a third, and they all had the same problem, that when the period ended, there was still irregular bleeding afterwards. And this is a problem where a woman will become confused. Do I have menses now, or is it outside of my menses? Is it some other type of bleeding? So istihada, in Arabic, it refers to a type of bleeding outside of the normal menses about which the woman is confused about, and it's an irregular bleeding, not part of the normal cycle that a woman has. This is called in Arabic istihada. The regular menses, it is called what in Arabic? Al-hayd. Al-hayd is the regular normal menses a woman has every month, 7 days or 6 days. Istihada, it refers to an irregular type of bleeding. As the Prophet ﷺ said, the blood of a vein. It's not the blood of the menses, but it's the blood of a vein that comes outside of the normal menstrual cycle. So, the Prophet ﷺ, he describes to the woman, he says that when your menses end, then what you should do is that you should wash away the blood and make a fresh wudu for every salah. The menses, just to talk about, there's a chapter in the book titled Al-Hayd, and we'll talk in depth about menses. But generally speaking, women, they have two types, or they have, you could say, four types of bleeding, four types of blood. They have the bleeding of the monthly cycle, which is 6 or 7 days or 5 days every month, which is caused by what we'll talk about. It has a cause, a physiological cause, that is purifying the womb from the egg. So this is every month. There's a monthly cycle. And women, they also have a type of bleeding that takes place more on an annual basis related to pregnancy and childbirth. This is the bleeding of what they call nifas. Nifas, or post-childbirth bleeding, postpartum bleeding. So this is a different type of bleeding that women have. There's a third type of bleeding that the scholars talk about, which is the blood, which is the irregular blood, the istihada, which is the irregular bleeding outside of the menses. And the fourth is only in a rare case when the woman, generally when on her wedding night, she has a bleeding on the wedding night. So those are the main types of bleeding that the woman has. Now, how does a woman, how does she know that her menses has ended when she has this irregular bleeding? She has this istihada. That is the difficulty that the woman has. The woman, she came to the Prophet ﷺ saying, she knew that her menses has ended. She said that, إِنِّي إِمْرَأَةٌ أُسْتَحَاب. So she used the word istahad. She knew that it wasn't the hayd. She knew that her menses ended, but there was still some type of bleeding. So she came to the Prophet ﷺ describing this, saying that I have this bleeding that takes place outside of the normal prayer, outside of the normal cycle. What should I do? Should I stop praying? Because she knew that blood, the bleeding, would negate her prayer. Normally speaking, a woman, when she's in the menses, she's not allowed to pray. And can she fast? A woman is not allowed to fast or pray during the menses. So she, knowing that there was blood, she knew, sure, she felt that maybe I should not pray at all, because this blood is an impurity, and I should not pray. So that's why she asked, should I leave, should I stop praying, because I never become pure? The Prophet ﷺ, he said, no, it is the blood of a vein. It's nothing to do with menses. This is a blood of a vein, which it does not negate or prevent a woman from her prayer or her fasting. And so this is the important point here for the woman, is that she has to know when the blood has stopped. And Allah, He talks about this in the Quran when He describes the woman, when يَسَأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيضِ, they ask you about the menses. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَى فَاعْتَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيضِ. It's a hurt, it's an impurity, so stay away from women when they're in the menses. فَحَتَّى يَطْهُرُن وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرُن. And do not go near them until يَطْهُرُن, until they become pure. What is meant by the word يَطْهُرُن here? Mrs. Yusuf, we talked about this. The stopping of the bleeding. So Allah says, do not go close to the woman until the bleeding has stopped. Hatta yatahurun. Then in the next part of the ayah is very beautiful. Faida tatahharna. The first word Allah uses, there's only one ta. Yatahurun. The second ayah, or the second part of the ayah, He says faida tatahurna. So there's two ta's. And there's a rule in Arabic that when you have more letters in a word, it gives a stronger meaning, or there's an additional meaning. زِيَادَةُ الْمَدْنَى تَدُلُّ عَلَى زِيَادَةُ الْمَعْنَى. So Allah is saying, when their bleeding stops, فَإِذَا يَطْهُرًا حَتَّى يَطْهُرًا فَإِذَا تَطَهَّرْنَا. So He's saying they have to do something in addition to the stopping of bleeding, then you can go to them. What is the additional thing? They have to wash. They have to make ghusl. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's teaching the when a woman, she stops bleeding and performs the ghusl, then it is now permissible to continue the marriage relationship. So in this hadith, the scholars discuss about this hadith. When the bleeding stops, the narration say, wash away the blood and make your prayer. Another narration, it says, perform a fresh wudu and for each prayer, and then you can pray. These are the different expressions. So the Jumhur, the majority of scholars, how do they define the ending of the menses? How does a woman know, if your wife asks you, or somebody, a woman, her daughter asks her, or how can she tell when the menses is ended? Because in order for her to know that her menses is ended and now it's istihada, irregular bleeding, she should know that. There should be some indication that it's not the regular menses anymore. Do you see the issue that a woman would face? She has the menses and then there's some type of irregular bleeding. When she has the menses, can she pray? She can't pray. If she has the irregular bleeding, can she pray?
Yes.
She can. So she has to be able to differentiate between the two types of blood. And this is where the fuqaha, the scholars, they describe what is the way that a woman can differentiate. One, the first way is that the blood of menstruation, it has a different color than the irregular bleeding. The Prophet ﷺ, he said the blood of menstruation is dark and well known. It is a dark color and well known. Whereas the irregular bleeding, it is red or bright red color. Also, we'll say it quickly because it's not something we want to dwell on too much. Or, the woman, the other way she can tell the difference is that every woman has a normal cycle. Some women, they have a monthly cycle of 5 days every month. Some women have 7 days every month. Whatever her normal cycle is. So if a month comes and her normal 5 days went by and she's still having some type of bleeding, then she knows that this is irregular. This is not her normal cycle. So she can look back to what her normal cycle was, and then when she starts having the istihada, she keeps track of those normal days, the normal week that she has. Anything outside of that period, then she can wash it and perform her prayer. So this is the other way. If she can't tell a difference in the color, she keeps track of her normal cycle, and outside of that, that's a type of irregular bleeding. Okay, that's the second way. The third way, or another way that a woman, she can keep track, or she knows that she is irregular bleeding, if this is the first time she has the menses, a young girl, or somebody who never had a normal cycle, what can she do? The scholars say, if she doesn't know what her normal number of days are, she can look at other women in her family. She can look at her sisters, she can ask her mother, other women in her family, generally women in the same family, they have the same length of menstrual period. So if her sisters, they have 6 days, then she leaves her prayer for 6 days. And then after that, she starts again. Okay, so that's generally how the woman, she can differentiate between the menstruation and the istihada. Now we have another issue, or we have the issue of the woman, the scholars, what they did is they made a minimum amount of blood that could be considered that can be considered menses. There's a minimum amount of bleeding, a minimum time that is bleeding. If it doesn't bleed that long, then it's istihada, then it's irregular bleeding. So they say that the minimum time that can be considered menses, there has to be a minimum amount of time. If the menses are so short, then if it's only a little bit of bleeding for an hour or half a day, then many of the ulama, they would say that's not menses, this is istihada. So the different fuqaha, the different madhahib, they had different opinions of what the minimum amount of blood is that can be considered menses. Do you see what we're describing now? What is the minimum amount of time that the woman has to have the menses to be considered the actual menses that she doesn't pray? And there's actually three different main opinions. Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he said that the minimum is 3 days of bleeding. That's what the hayd is. So if the woman, if she bleeds for 1 day and it stops, does she have to pray? She still has to pray. 2 days? Still has to pray. If it's 3 days, no more prayer. That means it's hayd. This is according to who? Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad, they considered the minimum period of bleeding to be called haid or menses, just one day and one night. So if the woman, she bled for 20 hours or 15 hours, does that count as haid according to Ahmad and Shafi'i?
Yes.
Less than one day.
No.
It has to be at least 24 hours. 24 hours, right? Imam Abu Hanifa said it has to be
3 days.
Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad said it has to be one complete day, not less than a day. If it's less than a day, that is called what? Istihada. Istihada. Very good. And if it's more, if it's 25 hours, that means it's the haid, no salah, no fasting. It's haram. It's haram for a woman to pray, and it's haram for her to fast during her menses. Not allowed. It's haram, forbidden. Okay. You have one more opinion, very interesting opinion. And this is by Imam, who's left? He said Shafi and Ahmad, they said it's one day. And Abu Hanifa said 3 days, who's left? Imam Malik. Okay, mashallah. Following along. Imam Malik, he said, even, it's a very amazing opinion, he said even one moment is enough to be considered hayd. Even if the blood comes for 1 second, then she's not allowed, she has to break her fast for that day. Because that's considered, for him, he said when it comes to the ibadah, even a single moment of bleeding, it counts as the hayd. So if the woman was fasting, and in the middle of the day, she had some bleeding for 5 minutes, according to Imam Malik, is her fasting nullified? According to Malik, it's nullified. 5 minutes of bleeding. What about according to Shafi and Ahmed? Her fasting is okay. What about according to Abu Hanifa? Fasting is okay, right? So this is how the Imam Malik, he considered for ibadat, he said any amount of blood, that's it. She cannot fast. The fasting is haid. That moment, that 5 minutes, when she was bleeding, was she fasting during those 5 minutes? She might have been not eating, but it doesn't count as so. Because the person in the haid, she cannot fast. Okay. And another example, according to Imam Malik, if she bled from, say, the time of Maghrib came in, and she was bleeding all the way until Fajr. All the way until Fajr, then the bleeding stopped after Fajr. Okay, so this time period, from Maghrib until Fajr, she was bleeding. So according to Imam Malik, does she have to pray during that time? No prayer. Because he said that even a moment, a few moments is called hayd. But according to the rest of the ulama, it was less than 24 hours. So what do they say she has to do? She's supposed to wash away the blood, and she's supposed to pray, because it's not the hayd. Okay, so just to summarize again, Abu Hanifa, 3 days, it has to be bleeding continuous to be the hayd. According to Shafi and Ahmed, 1 day and night. And finally, according to Imam Malik, even a moment, that's it. That's considered hayd, and the fasting is nullified, and the prayer, she cannot pray during that time of bleeding. And if the bleeding continues throughout the whole period of the prayer, then she doesn't have to pray those prayers. Does she have to make up the prayers after?
No.
A woman, when she has her menses, does she have to make up her prayers afterwards?
No. She
has to make up the song.
Ahsant. That's right. There's no the she has to make up fasting, but she does not have to make up the salah. Salah, there is no making up of the salah. Okay. So this is the three main schools here of Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and Shafi, and Ahmad, and Imam Malik. May Allah be pleased with them all. Now Imam Malik, I told you his opinion was a little bit amazing. He said that for the woman, when it comes to acts of worship, one moment of bleeding is considered hayd. But then when it came to divorce, you know, in divorce there's a waiting period after a man divorces his wife, which is normally 3 menstrual cycles. Imam Malik, for the divorce, he considers the only thing caught as a menstruation, 1 day and one night. So he made a differentiation between ibadat. He was more strict. He said even a little bit of blood, that's it. You cannot worship. But when it came to menstruation, he said it has to be a full day. When it comes to divorce, he said it has to be a full day and a full night of bleeding to count as the one menstruation. So when does a woman become divorced from the husband? How many periods have to go by?
Three
periods. She has to have three periods of three menstruations after he said the word of divorce. He says, I divorce you. So after the three menstruations come, then she goes on her way. Before that, she's supposed to stay in the house because this is called the iddah, the waiting period. Okay, so those are a few of the rulings regarding the hayd. That's the minimum amount to be considered the menses, the hayd. Now that we know the minimum amount, then what about when does she stop? When does the hayd considered stop? What is the maximum amount? After which, if it's more than that, then it becomes istihadah. We know that the minimum amount for the three schools, the Abu Hanifa three days, Malik and Shafi, Ahmed and Shafi, one day and one night, and Malik, he said, one moment. Now, what is the maximum period that can be considered a hayd? Can a woman always be in hayd 30 days of the month? Can she consider always in hayd? 15
days.
Not possible, because then she would never pray, she would never fast. So, what is the maximum period?
15
days. MashaAllah.
15 days.
7 days? 7 days is a common amount, but the maximum is 15 days. The maximum period of menses is 15 days. If the woman has menses more than that, then that cannot be the menses. That is called, beyond the 15 days, it becomes istihadah. So within the 15 days, she doesn't pray, but if it continues, she's still bleeding 16, 17, 18 days, then at that point, she says, I already used up 15 days, now I have to wash and start praying. This cannot be menses. This is something else. Like the Prophet ﷺ said, this is a vein. This is a bleeding that is not from the rahim, from the, that's not the cycle that comes from the womb. So the maximum period according to the Imams is 15 days. Whatever is beyond 15 days, then this is called istihada. This is a type of istihada, and there is no she has to pray after that. She has to continue praying after that, and she has to fast after that period. Okay. Aywa, naam. This is, again, there's another narration, I believe. Naam, he says this is an illness. It's an illness. You know, it's not the normal cycle that a woman has. You know, the menstrual cycle is something Allah has written for all the daughters of Hawa. Every woman, she has this natural purification of her womb. So what happens if it's more than 15 days, as the doctor said, she should go see a doctor. Maybe he wants more business. No, he's a doctor. No, he's right. A woman, if she has more than 15 days of bleeding, then that means it's not normal. It's a type of irregularity, and she has to get that. That doesn't count as her menses. So what concerns us now? If the maximum period is 15 days, the woman bleeds more than that, she has to start fasting and she has to start praying. But can she just start fasting and praying even though the blood is still coming out? Can she pray like that? What does this hadith teach us? What is the main lesson that this hadith is teaching us? If you remember the words of the Prophet ﷺ? He said, when your menses end, then wash away the blood and pray. And in the narration of Bukhari, make a wudu for every prayer. Make a new wudu for every prayer. So if the woman, she goes and she's still bleeding and she makes a wudu and she starts praying and the blood is still coming out, is this allowed for her?
Yeah.
It's allowed for her to do that because the Prophet ﷺ gave that dispensation in this case. He commanded that she do a fresh wudu for every prayer. In some narrations, it says she make a wudu for every prayer. Some narrations says she joins between the two prayers, Jama'ah, of Dhuhr and Asr, and Maghrib and Isha, and she does a shower for each of the prayer times. But we'll talk about that later. Basically here, what is important from this hadith, the lesson that we'll take home and finish with, inshallah, is that if anything comes out from either of the two passages, the front or the back, whether man or woman, that is uncontrollable and irregular and continuous, such as the istihada, or for the urinary incontinence. A lot of many men have the, or even they have the problem of urine drops keep coming out, or even air. Even the when a man, some people they have the problem of passing the gas, a little bit keeps coming out, and they're not able to keep their wudu. These three people, that when something comes out of either of the two passages without control and irregularly, then what they are allowed to do, according to the Prophet ﷺ, according to this hadith, is that when the time of the prayer enters, they wash away any impurity, they make a fresh wudu, and they go and pray as much as they want for that prayer time, and whatever comes out, they ignore it, and there's no harm, it doesn't affect their prayer, they are not considered najis or impure, you're not considered, the person is not considered not fahir, they're fahir, and the woman can pray, and the man who has the urinary incontinence, he can pray, and the one who has the air, he can continue praying all the way until the time, until the time of the prayer ends and the next prayer time comes in. When the next prayer time comes in, then they have to make a new wudu again. This is the what this hadith is teaching us, that whatever comes out beyond the woman's control, beyond the man's control, that is forgiven, and the wudu suffices until the next prayer time. This is the, as the scholars they say, this is the, whenever there's a difficulty, there's an ease in the religion. إِذَا ضَعْفَ الْأُمُورِ اِتَّسَعَ. When the matters become constricted, then the Sharia, it brings some ease with it. And this is what we find as a closing note, that everything in the Sharia was designed to bring ease. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ. Allah wants ease for you, and He does not want hardship for you. So the Sharia, it is all about making ease in people's lives according to the rules of Islam. And this is one of the foundational principles in Islamic law, that whenever الدرورات تبيح المحذورات, the necessities permit what is normally impermissible. And we find this is part of the flexibility of the Sharia, and part of the nature of the Sharia bringing ease, that we see when you're traveling you can shorten. If there's no water, you can make tayammum. If the person has a problem, a physical problem, they can make wudu. If somebody can't pray standing, he can pray sitting. If somebody can't pray sitting, laying down. If one cannot find the qibla, they make ijtihad and pray. Everywhere we find in the Sharia matters that the scholars, that the Prophet ﷺ indicated to us to make life easy. Allah does not want to overburden us, but He just wants us to be His servants. He wants us to show Him ubudiyah. He doesn't want more than that. He doesn't want to punish us, and He doesn't want us to run away from the ahkam of the Sharia, but He wants us to show worship, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ taught us through the prophetic traditions. May Allah give us beneficial knowledge, inshaAllah ta'ala, and give us goodness in this world and the next. صلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين. We have some time for questions. I'm sure the sisters, maybe they have questions more than the brothers. If any sisters want to write down on a paper, they can pass it under the door, inshallah ta'ala. Any questions, don't be shy, because this is a chance. You know, the shy person, there should be no shyness when it comes to asking about the deen. So if there's any questions, you're welcome to ask, and also from the brothers, welcome to ask also, inshallah.
So, the difference between the schools and as I am here, between the time. So, during Ramadan, which way we should go?
No. Well, you can go by the safest opinion, right? The safest opinion is for a woman, if she has the bleeding, and the Hanafi school says 3 days and three nights, right? So if it's less than that, then she can keep, you know, she can go by that and keep fasting instead of breaking it, you know, going by the opinion of Imam Malik. If she stays by the general opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa, then if it's less, the bleeding is less than 3 days and three nights, then there's no, it's not considered a hayd in that case. So then she can continue fasting.
Well, they will not know if it's hayd or not.
Until afterwards, right?
Until after the 3 days.
Right, so then she should, I guess she could fast until if she, well, generally the when it comes to the matters of Hayd, and we're going to go into a little bit more detail in a chapter of Hayd, but generally speaking, women know their own cycle. They know when something's irregular, they know when it's regular. So I mean, these are the general guidelines that the Fuqaha put down, but I guess the best answer you can say is that a woman, once she learns these ahkam, the woman can generally tell herself that my period ended, or her menses ended, and now some irregular bleeding came, and she knows herself, this is not normal, and I think it's going to be less than even one day or less than 3 days, so let me keep fasting. You know, a woman will generally know that about her own cycle. She knows it's outside of that fixed time. In fact, many women, this is a different issue, but they even calculate, I'm not going to be fasting these days. And if they have the Hayd during Laylatul Qadr or the 27th, they get very sad. So, oh, I missed out, I can't benefit. But they can do other worship. And there's also, if the woman is really in need, for example, on Hajj, she has to make tawaf, she can take, it's allowed to take the pills to delay the Hayd, so she can do her tawaf, or she can do the other worship. She can do that. But generally speaking, the woman, she is more knowledgeable about her cycle and when it comes, normally when it's irregular. Wallahu a'lam. Yes.
Say for example, if it's Ramadan, you know, it's the iftar right before, like maybe 10 or 15 minutes before iftar, if a woman starts her menses, she's supposed to break her fast right then? Or?
She doesn't break her fast. Her fast is broken. As soon as the blood comes out, that's it. The fast is broken. She has to make up the day.
Okay.
Even if it was 5 minutes before the sunset. Alhamdulillah, it's Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, it's a mercy for women that they don't have to fast in menses, because the body is weak and the blood is drained. So this is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
There's extra reward for fasting and, you know, following the sunnah.
Allahu a'lam nam, if she fasted, no doubt that any effort that a Muslim makes, then they'll get reward for it. Obviously, she won't get the reward of fasting the day of Ramadan, but nothing goes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take into account the struggle that she made. Yeah.
She cannot even
reading the Quran, right, reading the Quran during the menses, I've read the Maliki opinion, and also the opinion of many of the ulama, such as who have done studied the issue in depth. And you know, Sheikh, some of the ulama and Sheikh Ibn Baz and others, and they say that the stronger of the two opinions is that it's permissible without touching the Mus'haf.
Mm-hmm.
According to Malik, and some ulama study the issue, although if you look in some of the other schools, traditionally they said it's not allowed. But if you look at what Imam Malik, in their school, they say that as a rukhsa especially, if a woman, she's a student in an Islamic school and she's memorizing Quran, 1 week out of every month she cannot say the words of Allah, then she will not be able to do her hifz, because you know, doing hifz, if you leave it for a week, you'll forget whatever you learn. So they gave a rukhsa that, according to the Maliki opinion, and this, even if somebody is in a different school, if you speak to a mufti from that school, he might give a ruling outside of his school as a dispensation, as a rukhsa. So he might say to a woman who's studying Islamic law or she's memorizing Quran, he might give her a rukhsa on the Maliki opinion, saying it's okay for her to do that because she's in need of that especially. But according to many ulama, they say that it's allowed to recite without touching the pages. And we don't find any text that specifically forbid recitation of the Quran, but there are the verse, لا يمسه المتطهر إلا المتطهرين. Nobody touches it except the pure. So they say that each person has to have wudu to touch the Mus'haf. So the woman, she can have a computer screen, or she can wear gloves and she can look at the pages and recite. But all the madhahib, they allow her to look at the Quran and even listen to it. The only dispute is, can she recite it? And here Malik and some of the ulama, like Sheikh Ibn Baz, he said it's allowed. And the other madhab said she shouldn't recite it out loud. Allahu a'lam. Yes,
I think you answered it about the computer, reading it on the computer. Is it, you know?
Yes, and person can read. Yeah, a person can read the computer screen. He doesn't have to have wudu. You can recite Quran without wudu, generally speaking. You just can't touch the Mus'haf. The Prophet ﷺ, he recited Quran in all of his states, ما لم يكن جنوبا. If he was janaba, he didn't recite the Quran. So somebody, they can recite Quran in any state except when they're in a state of janaba. Now, the other madahib that say a woman, she shouldn't recite Quran when she's in her menses because they say it's like janaba. But there's a big difference. The janaba, a person in janaba, he can go and make a shower in 5 minutes and then he can come back and recite. But the woman who has a menses 7 days, no matter how much she washes, she cannot. She has to leave the Quran for 7 days completely. Whereas the junub person, he can easily wash and take away that state of janaba. So they say that it's not exactly the same between the two. So any other questions? Inshallah? Dr. Sayyid? Brother Ashraf? Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair. Everybody bring your families next time and your friends, and inshallah the benefit will increase and spread, inshallah.
I brought myself.
Alhamdulillah. Bring yourselves, inshallah. It's a good start. So, Jazakumullah khairan. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah.